As I was on my way to church this morning, beautiful sunny spring, early summer day, suddenly gripped with panic. Horrible deep feeling in the pit of my stomach. What on earth's the matter? Beautiful day. It's my exam nightmare, do you remember? I think some of you are probably going through it now. GCSEs and A-levels, school exams, university exams. And it was always at this time of year. And then suddenly you get gripped by panic. I haven't done any revision. For the youngsters amongst you, this sort of lingers with a lot of us for many years. Wimbledon equals, I want to watch the tennis, but I've got to do my revision. Moral of that is, go to a good school with a good teacher and make sure the teacher is teaching in the national curriculum. It works. How's this connected to today? Well, the way people tend to react to something unexpected or something they fear, panic. And there are similarities between the way we human beings behave and the way sheep behave. More of that in a moment. Bit of background first. In today's first reading, we hear Saint Peter fearlessly proclaiming that Jesus is risen from the dead and is the Son of God. Remember, this is taking place only a few weeks after the resurrection. And there are already tensions in the synagogues between the Jews, led by Peter, who hailed Jesus as the Messiah, the divine Saviour, and the majority of God-fearing, observant Jews in the synagogues, whose leaders insisted that Jesus had been executed for blasphemy. One of the things that marked out those early Jewish Christians was that as well as going to the synagogue to worship with their fellow Jews on the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath, they also met in each other's houses to pray together and to celebrate the Mass before starting back at work after the Sabbath on the first day of the week. They would meet together on Sundays. That's why we tend to focus on Sundays. Eventually the tensions got too much and the Christians were excluded from the synagogues. And that's what today's second reading is about. It's Saint Peter speaking again, telling his followers that they have a role model in Jesus, that they are doing the right thing when they patiently bear punishment, the punishment of being excluded from the synagogue, despite having done nothing wrong. In fact, for bearing punishment after doing their Christian duty of proclaiming the good news of the resurrection. Now, St. John's Gospel was written toward the end of the first century, after that split between the Jews and the Christians had begun, when those tensions were there. Imagine yourself in the position of those first Christians. How do you think today's Gospel would have sounded to them? We can tell from the style of John's Gospel that it was written to be read out in small groups, in those first Christians meeting in small house churches away from the synagogue. No doubt they would have been feeling pretty vulnerable, excluded, worried that perhaps they were indeed blasphemers for believing that Jesus was God, worried they were disobeying the mainstream Jewish teaching in the synagogues, worried they were making a mistake if they followed Jesus, worried, if you like, a bit like sheep, that they were following a bogus shepherd, a false teacher. If I'd been one of those first Christians, I would have certainly wanted some reassurance. And hearing today's gospel, with Jesus using the expression, I am, would certainly have been just the kind of reassurance those frightened Christians would have needed to encourage their faith. Why is that? Well, do you remember how Moses had encountered God in the burning bush? In the wilderness, and God told him he had to go back to Egypt and stand up to Pharaoh and free his people. Moses was appalled at the prospect, a dreadful thing to do, certain death. He needed reassurance from God. And Moses asked God, "What is your name?" Because he said, "If I can't tell them who gave me this message, they won't believe a word I say." And God, who up to that point in human history had not revealed his name, told Moses his very strange name. God told Moses that his name was I Am. I am, I am. When Jesus says today in the gospel, I am the gate of the sheepfold, it's one of the seven occasions in the Gospel of John when he uses the words I am, and they reveal Jesus, his true identity as God. You'll recognize the other six phrases. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. All these phrases provided confirmation of Jesus' true identity, and they leave no doubt in those early Christians that despite being prevented from going to the synagogue on the Sabbath, they have made the right decision. They're being told that they're following the right course. They're putting their faith in the Good Shepherd. They are not cut off from the true vine. They are guaranteed everlasting life if they put their faith in Jesus, believe in his resurrection and his divinity. But what does it mean, this strange expression Jesus uses to describe himself? I am the gate of the sheepfold. Jesus is talking about the way to achieve security, reassurance, safety in this life and the next. To be saved from panic and fear. He is talking about our salvation. And to understand the meaning of what he says, it helps to appreciate some things about sheep. Sheep certainly get lost very easily. Why do they get lost? Because they're so busy looking down at the lovely grass and grazing. They forget where they are. They don't look up. They get disorientated. They get lost. Apparently, sheep are quite incapable of finding their sheepfold, their place of safety at night. They need a shepherd to guide them. But more generally, don't we humans also get immersed in our busy lives, the cares of this world, doing the things we want to do, we need to do? We may forget the bigger picture, wonder about forgetting that we are God's children, isolated, wandering aimlessly like lost sheep, trying to work out the meaning behind it all. What is life about? And sheep are timid animals. If they're startled or frightened, they follow like sheep. They run about together. It's a defense mechanism. It helps protect them against being picked off by predators like wolves and hyenas. But it can lead to mad panic. Again, just like us. For us, when something unusual happens, people seem to join the stampede, panicking like lost sheep. Another thing that sheep are useless at is defending themselves against attack. If a wolf gets amongst them, their instinct is to freeze. And that's what gets them killed. That's why it's important they have a good shepherd, also capable of keeping the predators out of the sheepfold. The gatekeeper decides who gets in and who doesn't. Similarly, us humans are useless when we're left to our own devices when it comes to the thing that causes spiritual death, sin. Our instinct is to be drawn towards rebellion, to sin against God. It's called original sin. Because we're so weak, we need to be vigilant, to be alert to temptation. Just look how easily people get drawn into worshipping money, how people ride roughshod over everyone to get what they want, how the poor and vulnerable in society are treated, how many swallow the evil of racism. We need guidance. We need someone to be a role model. We need someone to make sure we keep these horrible things at bay, to protect us from our own stupidity. And one of the ways we can get this protection from all these evil things is by pulling together as a faithful flock in the church, strengthened through the sacraments of the church, together, our lives strengthened by unity, encouraging each other when things get tough, and above all, making sure we keep in contact with our own good shepherd, our role model, Jesus. Being the gate of the sheepfold would be a very clear image for those first readers of John's Gospel. Out in the countryside, shepherds would have a sheep pen made out of rock into a circular wall piled up, and on top of it there'd be brambles. And then there was a narrow gap in that wall just wide enough for the sheep to be let in, let out for protection at the end of the day. And to close off that gap, the shepherd would come and literally sleep across the gap. The shepherd would be the gate of the sheepfold. And the message to those early Christians was very clear. They are being reassured that despite being excluded from the synagogues, they've not been abandoned by God. They're being told they're like a flock of sheep, safe together under the care of Jesus, the Son of God. By saying, "I am the door to the sheepfold," they're being told that Jesus is the true way to their eternal salvation, where they'll be safe under God's protection. The same is true for us today. We need to make sure we put ourselves in a safe place, a place that protects us against the dangers of this cruel and wicked world, a place where there's safety in numbers. Striking out on your own, becoming an isolated Christian, is a risky thing to do. You hear people say things like, "I believe in God, but I don't go to church. I can pray on my own at home." That's certainly true. You can pray on your own at home. We're encouraged to do it. But being on your own all the time is dangerous, because we can rapidly get disorientated and start following our own foolish ideas and ways. And we need to make sure that when we join a community of like-minded, faithful people, it's holding true to the teachings of its founder, Jesus Christ. That's why this Sunday we pray especially for God to help us identify, encourage and affirm those amongst us who are true and faithful leaders and role models for our Christian communities. Voices we can recognise now and in the future as shepherds of the flock, guiding us, leading us, protecting us, leading us to good pasture. What was true 2,000 years ago is true today. We need to belong to a community of people who share our Christian beliefs and practice our faith properly, with leaders who keep us on the straight and narrow, on course to the truth. If we don't do that, we're at risk of losing our way, becoming completely confused and disorientated in a spiritual panic. That happens to a lot of people. Outside the safety of the sheepfold, we become vulnerable to the barrage of false claims, confused ideas, muddled teachings of our secular society. And our tendency to fall into sin, to follow the crowd, place ourselves outside the sheepfold, that is Holy Mother Church, is very likely to be a disastrous combination for us, both in this life and the next. And that's why today we pray on Good Shepherd Sunday for God to inspire us and send us those Christian leaders.